Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And we are in Manhattan. Didn't we just do the show here 3 weeks ago? 3.5 weeks ago? I think we did. But instead of being at Central Park South, we're now Midtown. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Purdy's have served the Valley for decades, finding the right insurance coverage. I don't care whether it's auto, home, life, business, whatever it happens to be. And they've also done it finding you, the customer, their partner, the best price. And by the way, if there happens to be a claim, they jump in as if it happened to them. They are outstanding at what they do. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the mobile Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Mobile in Manhattan. So we've gone from Central Park South to Midtown. So, Sean, I have to tell you.
Sure.
I feel badly. My brother can't be here. So last night, go to check in, and we got here around 4:45, something like that. Now it's, you know, Sunday night's theater night. The other big theater day is Wednesday's matinee day. So obviously, there's a lot of people in the street. We get through the Lincoln Tunnel, no problem. Eh, it took a little bit to crawl to the hotel. It's fine. Well, we get here, and so Dave Capriletti, we refer to him as Cappy, is in charge on the trip. And he said, look, they're bringing all the keys down, so just kind of hang with us. We're like, okay. I said, Cappy, I mean, because I have to pay for my own room anyway. So whether they give me the key or not, I still have to go to the front desk. And I said, well, Cappy, I can just go to the front desk, get my keys. No, they're bringing it down. I said, okay. So I wait a half an hour. Not down yet. They bring some more keys down. Okay. 45 minutes. Cappy finally says, maybe I'll go to the front desk. I said, okay. So I go to the front desk, and I get there, and, you know, look, when you have to stay, I think people could tell in the last 6 years, okay? Because we've been on the show now 6 to 6.5 years. So over that time, you've heard me do this show from a lot of different locations. Fair enough. Well, that means that over time, you do build up points. And they have several different levels. They have silver, silver elite, gold, gold elite, platinum. Okay, so I am through points at a gold elite level. Okay. So she looks at me and she says, oh, Mr. Jones, it's great to have you. Look, we're going to upgrade you. Like, oh, thank you. We're going to put you in a king business room. Right, so I've got a king size bed. I've got a desk. I've got a couch. I got a chair. I got an ottoman. I got a second desk. I got whatever. Okay, and not only that, we're going to put you on the Times Square side of the hotel. Like, great. So I look straight down. I'm looking straight down at Broadway from my room. So that's what we have. So that's. Now, the next part was, where, and she got this, like, really worried, look in her face. I said, what's the problem? She said, the suit's not coming, is it? I said, no. All right. Now, suddenly out of nowhere, like, it was back to being New Year's Eve again. So she was great. Oh, my goodness. All right. We're going to get Matt Leon on the show today. Talk with him. We're going to talk a little bit about Villanova, but also a little bit about the Phillies. I like the fact the Phillies kind of took a little bit of a step. I think they see something in Scott Kingery. And I like that. They gave him a 6-year contract. That guy said times last year that my opinion was that Kingery would not start the season with the big club in 18, and that around May, early May, they would pull the Chris Bryant move. Oh, we get an extra year with him. We're bringing him up now. And you know what? They went 180 of that. They signed him to a 6-year deal, so they avoid arbitration now. And arbitration can be a bitter process because you think you had a really good year, so there's a number you want. Okay? They want to keep you, but there's a number they want. Now you have to present your respective sides of the case. So your agent's in there saying, hey, he did X, Y, and Z. Meanwhile, the club is saying, well, but he's not quite as good as A, B, and C. Like, and it can be a hurtful process. And the Pirates have been really good about this over the years, where the Pirates have signed certain players, Marte, Polanco, McCutcheon, who when he was with them, to these kind of deals. Well, the Phillies went out with Kingery and signed him to a 6-year deal. And he was awesome last year at Lehigh Valley. So you get Crawford, they acquired Santana, you got Rhys Hoskins, now you get Kingery. Franco's been having a really good spring. Hernandez has been good, so you got three guys really in four spots there between Hernandez, Kingery, Crawford, and Franco. Three guys in four spots there. Williams, Arrieta, I think, kind of, you know, settles down the starting rotation. I think that helps a lot. You know, Aaron Nola, I think, is fabulous. And Arrieta, remember, Arrieta's last, what, 9-10 starts of last year? He had a 2.28 ERA. He's pretty good. So I think that they've got a shot to be an 80 or 81 win team. And I think being at 500 would be a big plus for them.
Yeah, the suit, Rob Center and I we were kicking that around this morning, total number of wins. And it was moving kind of between like 80 and 85. And actually yesterday during the radio network broadcast with Scott Fransky and Kevin Franson, they were just talking about just the jubilation of that young man getting that deal right before the season gets going here in just a few days.
I think that is a forward-thinking move by the Phillies organization. I think they're showing confidence in what they have with him, where he can now just relax and play ball. You know, he's got his 6-year deal, so you keep him out of the arbitration thing. I like that, and I think he's got a chance to be a good player. Now, what else do they bring to the table? Crawford might be better on this level than he was at AAA. Pitching's a little bit better, you know, more dependable at this level. And I'll tell you what Crawford does do. Crawford gets on base. And the Phillies last year were 24th out of 30 in the majors in on-base percentage last year. We could talk about analytics all you want, but I've always been a big believer that on-base percentage means a lot, because even though in contracts a hit is better than a walk in contracts, the reality is a walk is as good as a hit. Being hit by a pitch is as good as a hit because it gets you on base. Right? Now, in contract negotiations, that's not how it works, as we all know. But in terms of the reality of the game, a walk is as good as a hit. Well, Crawford gets on base. I'll tell you who else does. Is Santana. Santana gets on base. He had a .365 on-base percentage with the Indians last year. Right? So he gets there too. So I think you're going to see the Phillies produce more, because I think they're going to have more base runners to work around this year. And I think that's going to be a big plus for them moving forward. I think Arrieta settles down the rotation. They really got him on a very friendly deal, which I think helps. And I also think that, he'll take a lot of pressure off Nola and a couple of the other guys. Jared Eichhoff. I think they've got something here where they're building a really nice foundation with the Phillies. And I know Scott Fransky is going to be on our show tomorrow at 4:06. And by the way, the airtime for the NIT semifinal tomorrow night. Common sense came into play here. The airtime is now going to be 9 o'clock because the feeling is there's just no way on the planet the game starts before 9:25.
Even though if there would have been an 8:30 airtime, you and DJ would have covered it with lots of content. There wouldn't have been no issues at all.
Well, I would have handled today's media thing differently. For example, if it had been an 8:30 start, Lamar Stevens, Tony Carr, and Shep Garner were all there today. I would have sat down and done one-on-ones with each one of them, you know, about 3 to 4 minutes with each, just to fill that extra time. But, you know, when that came up, okay, now you can't really do those interviews now because I have to do the pregame with Pat, which I'll do at the Garden tomorrow at the end of shoot around. And then, you know, with a potential 9:25 start somewhere in that neighborhood, you don't, believe it or not, with commercials and everything, you don't have as much time as people think. You have to do the scouting report. You got to do the starting lineups. You got to, you know, open the game up. So that did change how we do things. So it's going to be a 9 o'clock airtime tomorrow night for the game. How did the All-Star game go this weekend?
Very nice. Had a chance to catch a little bit of it, a little bit of the girls' game last night with Kevin and the Chief, and quite a few of the. It was two or three of the Lourdes Regional girls took part in that last night. They had a nice deep run in the playoffs. Almost made it to Hershey. Almost. But congratulations to actually one of the girls from Lourdes Regional, Selena Albert. Her mom posted on Facebook over the weekend. She's going to be going to the University of Delaware. Got an acceptance letter. All decked out in her Delaware T-shirt. Right. So congrats to you know, Selena and the Napoli family, the Albert family. They are proud for all of her accomplishments.
Oh, no question. I mean, and well, it should be.
But way to go to Chief and everybody at Shikellamy last night for putting those games on. Yeah. Kevin Asuut told me this morning, very well attended last night, so a great turnout, and congrats to everyone involved with that.
Absolutely. And also, I think it was great that Kevin and the Chief finally got a chance to talk again, despite the Chief's repeated efforts to get him to return calls.
Looks like it will be official. It'll be you, the Chief, the Suit, and Craig Fogle get the band back together for the Purdy tournament.
Oh, we'll have a good time with that.
Looking
forward to that very much.
Speaking of the
Craig and the Chief.
Speaking of the Purdy tournament, I spoke with one of the great gals at the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA in Sunbury. Molly told me today they're already starting to receive phone calls for people ready to lock in their foursomes. So we will start
May 2nd.
Yep, we'll start to get the
May 2nd. Yep.
So if you don't want to wait for our official invitation, do not hesitate to call the Sunbury Y 570-286-5636. Since they're already starting getting calls get your call in. Get your foursome locked up and join us for what's going to be a great day.
I guess the Suit was over at the driving range today.
Oh, really? Must have been after the meeting we had this morning.
Yeah.
Come to think of it, I haven't seen him since then. So,
well, I guess according to reports I got, he was over there. He watched a bunch of other people hit, then left. So, I mean, that's...
For a second, I thought you were going to say you saw other people hit the bridge. It's like...
No. I mean, there aren't many people that, like, I'm just going to go down to the hole by the creek and I'm going to see how many balls I can hit off the bridge railing.
Duck and cover.
Everybody run. Run. We will come back. I'm going to talk a little bit more baseball. The next half hour, we're going to talk about early entries into the NBA draft. Matt Leon's on the show today. We'll talk about the Phillies and Villanova as we continue. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com from Manhattan on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Interesting. Florida State, of course, lost to Michigan by 4 in the Elite Eight. And Leonard Hamilton was criticized by some because with, I don't know, 9 to 11 seconds left in the game, Michigan got the ball and Florida State didn't foul, even though it was a 4-point game. They just let the clock run out. And so Dana Jacobson of CBS, I thought, did a very professional interview job. That's a tough spot for everybody to be in. You know, you got to talk to the losing coach. She asked the right question. She asked it in the right way. She asked it in the right spirit. Okay? He was obviously emotional about it, about losing the game. And, you know, he seemed off as to how he answered it. And then later on he said, hey, look, that's on me. And I understand the emotion of it. I've got that. To be honest with you, this is where, when I look at Florida State, they were down by, what, 7 with about 3 minutes to go. And my thought was, at that point, you know what? You may have to do something outside the box here. Because they were the next foul was going to put Michigan into the 1-1. So that's 3 1-1s that you can get here. And this is 3 minutes to go in the game. I thought, you know what? You might have to think outside the box here. Something I pointed out before the Penn State-Michigan game a month ago in the Jordan Center was, hey, look, what happens to Michigan? And I made this point not just about the Penn State game, but, you know, we all knew Michigan was going to the NCAA tournament. I said, how's Michigan going to handle late-game situations with Xavier Simpson shooting free throws? Because he went to the Penn State game at 46%. He's now at 51%. If I'm Leonard Hamilton, because I was thinking this watching the game, I said, man, I'd start fouling him now. Now, if he makes them, he makes them, all right? I mean, there's a risk in any strategy you take. But you need possessions. And this guy, especially in one-on-ones, opens the door potentially to possessions where he gets one or two, or he misses the front end and they get no points, you get the rebound. Now you're coming down the court after the clock had been stopped and so forth. I thought he actually sort of started doing that earlier. You know, it's interesting. You watch the Penn State game. What did John Beilein do in the Penn State game at the end? At the end of the game, when Penn State's trying to foul to get back in it, Simpson was in the game, but they put him in the front court. They didn't want him handling the ball on the inbounds. They didn't want him there. You know, they wanted to have Duncan Robinson there for obvious reasons. He's an 89%er. But see, I thought Hamilton should have started fouling Simpson with 3 minutes to go. Create more opportunity. Create more possessions, if possible, because that guy opens the door. And Simpson is a marvelous defensive guard. He is really good as a defensive guard. He's also become a better three-point shooter, and he's become a better distributor, right? All pluses. But the one area it's not a plus is his free throw shooting. And the guy that's handling the ball as often as he is, I thought with 3 minutes ago they should start fouling him. Now, roll the dice. Now, if he makes them, he makes them. There's a risk in any strategy. But I thought Dana Jacobson could not have handled it any better. He then realized, I'm not going to be critical about how he handled the interview. You just lost an Elite Eight game by 4 points. I mean, you're crestfallen. So that's a tough interview to do on both sides. So remember I said last week how Tony Bennett should get a lot of credit for coming out? Okay. Because, you know, they said, we'll send an assistant. And I goes, nope, I'm the head coach. It's my responsibility. I'll do it. I gave him credit for that. Matt Leon coming up 4:06. And today's show brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC Way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC Way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Purdys have served this valley for decades, whether it's auto, home, life, business insurance. They're not only the insurance experts, they're the best in the business. They're your partner. They'll find you the right insurance, so you're covered at the best price, and they'll search for that best price. And if there's a claim, they go to work right away, as if it happened to them. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And I'm in the mobile Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great time to buy a car, man. Spring is right around the corner. Let's get to this day in sports history, and then we're going to talk a little bit about early entries in the NBA draft. We talked a lot about baseball in the opening half hour. Believe it or not, the baseball season starts Thursday. There'll be no show Thursday. Oh, stop the applause. Come on. I mean, all right, whatever. Okay. The Phillies open on Thursday. 1931. Boston Bruins coach Art Ross became the first NHL coach to pull the goalie for an extra attacker. Didn't work. The Bruins lost to the Montreal Canadiens in Game 2 of the Stanley Cup semifinals, but everybody does it today. Start with Art Ross. And the scoring champion is the Art Ross Trophy winner, by the way. Lakers broke the NBA record by winning 69 of their 82 games in 1972. At one point, had a 33-game winning streak. Of course, the Bulls and then Golden State have since broken that record. In 1986, Neil Broughton of the then Minnesota North Stars, and now the Dallas Stars, became the first U.S.-born player to score 100 points in a season. And in 2014, the National Labor Relations Board ruled that college football players at Northwestern University could unionize. Now, players did vote. They've never released what the vote was. But, you know, over time you develop enough people that you know at various places in the Big Ten. My understanding is the vote was 3-1 against unionizing, at least somewhere in that neighborhood. All right. NBA draft. Obviously, Tony Carr is here. And Tony, of course, has been asked about the NBA draft. And he says, look, I'm not thinking about that right now. He says, but when the season's over in a couple of weeks, I'll make a decision as to what to do. And as you know, what I've said many times, that if Tony were to pull me aside, it would be quite simple. I would tell him, Tony, don't get an agent. Put your name into the draft and get evaluations. These are professional talent evaluators. Okay? Their reputations are on the line in evaluating talent. They will tell you the pros of what you're doing right, and they'll tell you the cons of what you need to do. They are not recruiting you. Oh, please, Tony. Oh, please. Come to the Milwaukee Bucks. No, that doesn't happen. That happens in free agency. It does not happen in the draft. They are selecting you. So they're going to be blunt and honest with you about where they think you are. And if it's a good report, okay, then you go from there. If it's a mediocre report, you should go back. You have until the process starts April 22nd. You have until June 11th to pull your name out. So, the majority of college basketball teams, of course, they're done. All right, they're done. Obviously, there's four here in the NIT. There's four in San Antonio. I think like the CBI, CIT is still going on, something like that. Only 21 non-international players in the NCAA tournament or the NIT. So the NCAA, of course, has made a lot of changes to their early entry rules in 2016. So again, they're allowing players to be evaluated with their draft stock. But I think what a lot of people don't realize, okay, you get the NBA combine and then private team workouts. That happens between the early entry list when it's released on April 22nd and then 10 days after the conclusion of the combine, which is in late May. Okay, players can withdraw no later than 10 days, which is 5 p.m. on June 11th. Right? Early entrants can withdraw from the NBA draft only twice. Okay, so you can go through this process two times and then pull your name out. You can't go through it a third time. Once you go through it a third time, you're going. Corey Sanders, for example, can enter the draft. He's the Rutgers guard. He can enter the draft after withdrawing as a freshman and a sophomore, but he can't test the waters. Should he go undrafted, he could return, but he has to file a letter through his college athletic director. It's an obscure NCAA rule that does conflict with the NBA rules. And it's somewhat of a loophole. But really, the bottom line is you can really put your name in time you got to go. In February, NBA Executive Vice President of Basketball Operations Kiki Vandeweghe sent college coaches an application for players to request an evaluation from the Undergraduate Advisory Committee, which is called the UAC. And this is to help the players make decisions. Now, this is what the memo said. The purpose of the UAC is to provide underclassmen who are thinking of professional with an objective evaluation of their prospects in the 2018 draft. I want to point something out quickly to you. The 2019 draft is not as deep. That's something to think about here. Okay, the high school senior class is not that great that's entering into college basketball next year, so it's a little thinner. Just remember that. The committee's evaluation is, of course, only an educated assessment and is not binding in any way or a commitment or guarantee that a player will or will not be drafted in a certain slot or at all. Please also understand that the committee's evaluation should in no way be viewed as an effort to encourage the player to leave school. The committee is simply responding to a request for information. Neither the player, you, nor any representative of either of you, may make public any of the information communicated by the committee. It's fair. All right? And they send this, NBA executives send a series of emails with a list of names requesting the team's assessment and so forth. The player is then informed of the consensus reached by weighing the NBA executives' responses and offering feedback as to whether you are a lottery pick, a first-round pick, a second-rounder, or undrafted. All right, so some teams are aggressive about this. They fly in a lot of prospects. Celtics do. Utah Jazz, they do. But they want to get as much information as possible about all this. They have 15-man rosters. And they also have players that are on two-way contracts. They also have players that are on summer league rosters. They also have training camp invitees. They have G League squads. Now, that two-way contract is I'm playing in the G League, and instead of making the minimum of $24,000, I might be making $75,000. Then I get called up, and I make the NBA minimum, boom, and $75,000. That's a two-way contract. Some of the executives have about this. Others don't. All right, so let's give you some numbers as to what it's looked like the last couple of years. And again, this is related, for example, to Tony Carr, who has not made up his mind. He says he's not going to talk about this until 2 weeks from now. But again, if I'm advised, I say, hey, look, find out. You may hear something great, or you may find out exactly what you need to work on to get yourself in a position for next year. Whatever. 64 collegiate players last year kept their names in the draft. 64. wiped out. Sean, what's interesting about the 64 number? There are only 60 draft picks. It was guaranteed at minimum that four were not going to be picked. Okay, of the 64, 37 were picked. Now, that 64 is up from 2016, when 60 players kept their names in and 30 were picked. But there's another added wrinkle here for underclassmen. And that is, there is a projected weakness in the 2019 draft. A lot of people say the 2018 senior class in high school basketball is not that great. And some people are wondering how many people want to get into this thing, especially with the FBI Department of Justice investigation. And some people are wondering if they might want to take that two-way deal with an NBA roster spot. But what's interesting is that for underclassmen, if they want to stay, there actually might be more openings next year because of the perceived weakness of the 2019 draft class. And the perceived weakness happens to be in the high school seniors, the ones that are playing right now, as opposed to the senior crop from a year ago. The year ago, that senior crop included Wendell Carter, Trey Young, players like that. Now, Marvin Bagley, I think, was supposed to be a senior in high school this year, wasn't he? I think. What he did was actually remarkable. DeAndre Ayton was a senior last year. Those kind of players are not there, and there is not quite the same depth in the 2019 draft, so there actually might be more openings for underclassmen next year. Just something to think about. You put out there. We try to get as much information into your minds as possible so that when you sit there and you want to talk about such things, it gives you at least a perspective on everything out there. It's not just as cut and dried and as simple as people realize. All right, we'll take a break. We are in New York, in Manhattan, Times Square. Big statue down there at Times Square. I go, oh my goodness, they've got a statue of the suit. Now it's George M. Cohen. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance.
There are a lot of places to get insurance coverage, but only one place in the Susquehanna Valley ready to put four generations of experience to work for you. Hi, I'm Adam Purdy. At Purdy Insurance, we take the time to talk with you and find the right coverage for your needs. Everyone's situation is unique, so our approach is to customize coverage to best protect you. Whether it's home, auto, or business insurance solutions you need, call, email, or stop in to see how our commitment to personal service can help protect what matters to you.
All right, great to have you with us on the show today. We're in Manhattan, 9 o'clock airtime tomorrow night. We're on. That's when we start, because we're anticipating the game is going to be about 9:25 somewhere. So we'll start at 9 o'clock tomorrow night in terms of the airtime. Mississippi State should be a good game. Mississippi State is a good team, typical SEC team, long, athletic. They are very good defensively. I think I want to say they're 31st in the nation in adjusted defensive efficiency. I'd like to point out that Penn State's 19th. So I've had a couple of people say, oh, God, their defense sometimes is just so bad. Really, what's your comment to the other 332 teams? I was like, all right, I just want to know. They're 19th in adjusted defensive efficiency. Mississippi State's 31st, very good. And they like to get a lot of points from two. They're not a great three-point shooting team at 31.7, but they're very good at defending the three. Tony Carr is going to be longer than any of their guards, and that's going to be key. That he becomes the pivotal player in this one. I think Lamar Peters is a is a quick pass first kind of guy, but you know, he can get his own shot. I mean, I like him. He's a good player. Eric Holman comes off the bench. He actually is their leader in threes at 44%. He's 6'10". So you can go inside, outside. But they get 55, 56% of their points from twos. Look, it's going to be a good game. These are all going to be good games. You get to this time of the year, Penn State's good, they're good. I mean, what do you expect? What, Michigan's going to play Loyola? What do you think? Michigan's going to, it's only Loyola? What the heck? The team's on a roll. When's the last time Loyola or Chicago lost? I mean, they won their conference tournament. That's how they got in. They won the Valley. And then they've run off four straight wins in the NCAAs. When's the last time Loyola or Chicago lost? You know, for that matter, when's the last time Michigan lost? Michigan's been on a roll. I mean, Michigan's played really well. You know, so Michigan played a little bit better, a little better flow last weekend than they did the week before. Kansas and Duke, by the way, was to me a heavyweight fight in Omaha, which was essentially a road game for Duke, and that was a fabulous game yesterday. Really was, and Villanova is playing just terrific basketball. Villanova's defense, that's where their biggest improvement is, the defense. I mean, cause they, you know, they'll get points. And they got 72 yesterday against a really good Texas Tech defensive team. And so that's I'm looking forward to it. That should be a good Final Four coming up this weekend. A lot of baseball talk in the first half hour. I think the Phillies can be an 80-81 win team this year. I think they've put themselves back in that spot. I like the young players, Kingery and Hoskins. I mean, they signed Kingery to a six-year deal. To me, that's a forward-thinking deal. I like that deal. I like it. I think a lot of people were by it, but if you can take a young player with great potential, believe in him, and avoid arbitration, that's great. Because arbitration creates ill feelings. Like, for example, the suit went in, and you know, he said, I'm great at this, this, and this, and management said, you're not good at this, this, and this. It created hard feelings. No, that didn't happen.
It was worth trying. Can't blame him for trying.
It was worth trying. We can debate that, you know.
Yeah, it's true.
we could debate that. At least he and Dave are back on speaking terms. That's the most important part. Because, I mean, I guess Dave tried to get a hold of him repeatedly, and he blew him off repeatedly. He kept saying about something about primary job or something like that. I don't know what that means. Then he went on vacation to an undisclosed area where, after I asked him one question on the air, he spilled all the beans about where he was. That ended that.
6 of us at a closed door meeting last week couldn't even get that information out of him, but
I got that in 18 seconds.
Yeah, you have more clout than you think.
So exactly where did you hide the weapon? We're all done. Oh my goodness. Ah, boy. Ah. Let's see. SMU's Foster declaring for the NBA draft. Kata Bates-Diop, NBA draft. John Higgins has worked 7 Final Fours, including the past 3. But J.D. Collins said today that he's not going to make the cut. They said his crew mishandled the call in the opening round between Auburn and College of Charleston, so John Higgins is not. Remember last year he made Kentucky fans threaten him? So he is not going to work the Final Four. Now, who works the Final Four? I don't know. And Sister Jean gave, quote, her blessing, and I think Sister Jean can do that, for Loyola to license her name and image. All right? Her quote is, worship, work, and win. Now, I'm trying to think what where the money's going to go. She's 98, so financially she's not going to reap these incredible benefits. But you know what's been really neat about this? In watching Sister Jean? And that is as follows. Think about this. You've got 18 to 22-year-olds. 18 to 22-year-olds. From every background coming together on a team. And after every game, they go up and they hug a 98-year-old nun. See, that's the world I want to live in.
And she's on Twitter too. She's on Twitter. She's got 6,000 followers on Twitter. I found it this morning, and she had a great line. She goes, "What did I give up for Lent? Losing."
Well, you know what? I see 18 to 22-year-olds of every race, creed, background. And when the game is over, each one of them has the respect to go up and give her a hug. Every time I see that, I just feel good about about young people. They have that kind of respect and admiration for somebody else.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.